name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you, and for all who do not have recourse to you, especially for the enemies of the Holy Church. Praise to be Jesus and Mary. Thou art all fair, O my love, and there is not a spot in thee. This and many other texts that we'll take a look at tonight tell us about the Immaculate Conception. Thou art all fair, O Mary, and there is not a spot in thee, not the least taint of sin is with our Blessed Lady. This is a sublime privilege because she was going to be the Mother of God. And there's no contract of stain of this sin, which the other human beings have had over the years, of course, with original sin. Our Lady never had the least stigma of sin. And this is and also with the Immaculate Conception go all the immeasurable graces which rendered her from that moment the mirror of the sanctity of God himself. Nothing defiled could be permitted to enter, even for an instant, into Our Lady. And this is proof of what we see in the St. Paul tells us, that if people are going to be brought to heaven without spot or wrinkle, what about Our Lady, who is going to be the Mother of God? She would be without spot or wrinkle continually all through her life. The great doctor of the Church, St. Anselm, says it was just that this Holy Virgin should be adorned with the greatest purity which can be conceived after that of God himself. Since God the Father was to give to her as her child that only begotten Son, whom he loved as himself, as being begotten to him from his own bosom, and this in such a manner that the selfsame Son of God was by nature the Son of God, the Father, and this beloved Blessed Virgin. This same Son chose her to be substantially his mother, and the Holy Ghost willed that in her womb he would operate the conception and birth for him from whom he himself had proceeded. So these beautiful words puts everything in perspective of where Our Lady is in the light of the heavenly decrees. Certainly, this is God's will to make Our Lady immaculate, because she was going to be the mother of the Son. Thou art all fair, O my love, and there is not a spot in thee. And how can we do less than admire and love the incomparable purity of Mary in her Immaculate Conception? Thou art all fair, my love, and there is not a spot in thee. Canticles 4:7. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. The Lord possessed me. This, of course, relates to Our Lady, and because she was possessed by God from all beginning, because in the eternal decree, God had already deigned that his Son would become a man. He would be the firstborn of all creatures. This is what the Franciscans believe in the Franciscan thesis, the primacy of Christ. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of all creatures, and conjointly with him, of course, is Our Lady from the very beginning. So this text, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. This the Church applies in many of her masses and everything to Our Lady. Of course, in the joint predestination of the Son was the mother who was going to be spotless, the Immaculate Conception, without spot or wrinkle of any sort. It is not in the order of time, but in the order of eternal intention does the primacy of Christ lay. For example, we know in the order of Jesus Christ, of course, was born 4,000 years after Adam, but in the order of intention with the Father intended to send his Son. Even if Adam had not sinned, God was going to send his Son, and his Son would be the firstborn of all creatures. And all creation would be born and made to give praise and glory to the Son. Every creation, every created flower, every created animal, everything that God had created was created for the adornment of the Son. And of course, Our Lady was also in that joint predestination. She was decreed to come also with the Son to be his mother, because God the Son, Jesus Christ, was born of the Father as God in the bosom from all eternity, and he would be born of a woman in time, as St. Paul tells us, born of a woman to tell us that, of course, that he was man, true God and true man, begotten, not made, as we know. Right? The Son and Mother are therefore united in the plan of the incarnation. Therefore, Mary existed, as did Jesus, in the divine decree from even before creation. But if Mary be that prominent in the divine decree, it would be most important that she have no taint of sin, and that's why she would have the Immaculate Conception, without taint of any sin, nor be subject to original sin. And she will transmit to her Son, who is also the Son of God, his human nature in the original perfection, created, as the Apostle says, in joy, in holiness and justice. St. John also gives us a hint of the grace that is in the Son when he talks about Jesus is full of grace and truth, John 1:14. Just like most important text, simple that we say it all the time, but we don't always fully understand the essence of this particular text that we use from the angel for the Hail Mary. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. The angel Gabriel proclaims her full of grace. And if she's full of grace, she cannot be with any kind of sin. Full of grace, as much as God could give her. And only he knows the amount of grace that Our Lady has. Right? And her grace, of course, as many saints tell us, she continues to grow in the life of grace. Right? Gabriel also goes on enumerating the supernatural riches of Mary. He says to her, "The Lord is with thee." What does this mean? It means that even before Mary had conceived our Lord in her chaste womb, she already possessed him in her soul. And if the Lord is with thee, and Jesus is with her, as it were, she possesses Jesus in her soul, God in her soul, that's also, as Tom Gauranger tells us, that's a hint of also the Immaculate Conception. Because the Lord is with thee. Hail, full of grace. Right? And of course, another text that's important is the Blessed art thou among women. This is the accolade that the angel gave to her. Blessed are you among women, for you are going to be the mother of God. The Immaculate Conception of Mary is therefore declared by the angel's salutation, as Don Geringer says, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, telling us that if she's full of grace, therefore without sin, she would be the Immaculate Conception. And by note, we know that at Lourdes, she said to Bernadette, I am the Immaculate Conception. I am the Immaculate Conception. That she is, this is what she is, in essence, the Immaculate Conception. And now we come to a second aspect of the Immaculate Conception, what it means for us as creatures. All right, and we can go to the various saints, of course, and one especially is Blessed John Duns Scotus, the Franciscan, who proposed to us the primacy of Christ. Christ is the firstborn of all creatures, and he is the firstborn of all creatures, and he is the perfect fruit of a perfect, and Our Lady is the perfect fruit of a perfect redemption by a perfect Redeemer. Right? These are the words of Blessed John Duns Scotus. Our Lady would have to be sinless. Her redemption would be preservative and through the foreseen merits of Jesus Christ. So she's the perfect fruit of a perfect redemption by a perfect Redeemer. The perfect fruit because she's immaculate, never having any sin. And of course, her redemption was preservative. She never had any sin on her soul. Our redemption, we have been redeemed, of course, by Jesus Christ. Our redemption is liberative. We were liberated from sin. We had original sin, as all men do, and we were liberated through Jesus. So Our Lady is the perfect fruit of a perfect redemption. A perfect redemption by Jesus Christ, who redeemed the whole world by his death on the cross, and by a perfect Redeemer, who is God. So this beautiful saying reminds us of what in essence is the effects of God's great work, and how Our Lady is the perfect fruit of a perfect redemption of a perfect Redeemer. But Blessed Pius IX, in his bull for the Immaculate Conception, Ineffabilis Deus, tells us of Our Lady that her participation in the divine life exceeds that of all the angels and saints together. So how holy must Our Lady be? All right? What does the Immaculate Conception mean? She was filled with grace to such an extent that her participation in the divine life of grace exceeds that of all the angels and saints put together. It's hard for us to imagine how that's possible. One person exceeding all the angels and all the saints, billions and billions of angels and saints who have preceded her and come into this world, who had grace in their souls, living in heaven without spot or wrinkle, and she exceeds all those put together. Also in Ineffabilis Dei, we have Pope Pius IX tell us, the Most Holy Virgin was in the first moment of her conception, by a unique gift of grace and privilege of Almighty God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of mankind, preserved free from all stain of original sin. We should maybe just remind you how this was all possible. One of the things that the various doctors and saints had come to grips with, they did believe Our Lady was the Immaculate Conception, but how could she be redeemed? How was it possible? Because of the foreseen merits of Jesus Christ. This is what John Duns Scotus says, and the Holy Father Pius IX uses it in this bull. Through the foreseen merits of Jesus Christ. So when Our Lady was conceived in the womb of her mother, because of the merits of her son that were coming in time, she was freed from original sin through the foreseen merits of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is why if we say she was the perfect fruit of a perfect redemption by a perfect Redeemer, a perfect redemption, right, by Christ, by God. God so loved her with unique predilection that he filled her with the greatest abundance of his celestial gifts, and her participation in the divine life exceeds that of all angels and saints together. Her life reflects so great a fullness of innocence and sanctity that a more exalted creature cannot be conceived of except by the Creator himself. So we cannot even imagine a more exalted person than Our Lady. Only God could do, because God is infinite. He can do, he's cannot be measured, of course, but anything that we do is measurable, and we can't even conceive this. It's like what St. Paul tells us about heaven. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him in heaven. We can almost say the same thing. We can't even imagine in our mind what Our Lady is like. Right? St. Maximilian Kolbe would remind us to be transubstantiated into the Immaculate. Transubstantiated, to give ourselves to Our Lady completely so that we can be changed. If we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady, we will take on her virtues. She will come to us and transubstantiate our souls so that we become like her, other Marys, living, speaking, and working in the world. So this is an important thing for all those who are consecrated, all those who want to have Mary for their mother and want her to take over their life. St. Maximilian Kolbe tells us, the Immaculate penetrates the soul and directs its faculties, the memory, the understanding, and the will, with her unlimited power. Now this is a most important concept, because if we belong to Our Lady, and this we do by just even a simple consecration. Tell the Blessed Mother, dear Blessed Mother, I want to belong to you heart and soul. I want my whole being to belong to you. I want you to take over my life and my soul and my eternity. So if we do that and we ask Our Lady to take over our souls, then she will penetrate our soul, all right, with her unlimited power, our soul, meaning our memory. She'll inspire our memory to think good things and recall good things, all right? And she'll help our understanding. We'll understand what life is all about, what the cross is all about, what sin is all about, help aid our understanding to understand what this life is all about. And then she will strengthen our will. So she penetrates our soul, memory, understanding, and will with her unlimited power. This is why we want to belong to Our Lady, and we want to be part so that she can live, speak, and work in us. So the Immaculate Conception is truly the most wonderful dogma in our faith, because it is in essence the redemption of Christ and how he's redeemed us and given us his mother so that we can go to her and pray to her and ask her for all the favors that we need, and she can take over our life and do what we need to save our soul. And this is why God has given her to us. This is why she's immaculate. So we have to marvel at this whole dogma of the faith, not only for what it means to the church, to the world, to every individual, but what it also means to us personally, and how Our Lady will take over our lives and penetrate our souls and give us understanding and of what life is all about, and help us to save our soul, that so that Jesus, as St. Paul tells us, will present us to his Heavenly Father without spot or wrinkle at the end of our lives. May the Lord bless you.